Hi, and welcome to 6, 4, 7. 6 stories for 7 a.m. because there's a famine of truth in our land. And this is your quick news fix. And the truth starts now, and the truth can be tough sometimes. Parents' rights and free speech in education. The Department of Justice this week directed the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ to work with federal, state, and local partners on what, you're wondering, to identify threats to parental rights and free speech in education. What could be a threat to that? How about Chris Wray and his FBI? How about whole field offices targeting parents who show up at school board meetings? How about FBI agents who are dogging Latin Mass Catholic services because they're a hotbed of trouble? What a bunch of nuts those people were. Time to prosecute. Back to the story. I digress. Pam Bondi, Attorney General, wrote, "Recent years have seen a disturbing trend in which state and local authorities have brought radical gender and racial ideology into our public schools while suppressing dissenting viewpoints." That would be us. Worse still, they have ignored, dismissed, and even retaliated against concerned parents who speak out against these morally and factually bankrupt ideologies and in defense of their own children. The First Amendment guarantees the right of every citizen to speak freely, assemble peaceably, and petition the government for redress of grievances, including at public school board meetings, she added. These rights do not yield to political trends or bureaucratic convenience. While schools must maintain order, such authority cannot be used as a pretext to silence dissent or punish parents for expressing their views. I went a couple months ago to a school board meeting. It was, let's just say, unpleasant. Okay, there were books that kids should never be reading, and all these school board members knew about it. They all have a radical agenda, except for one. And they asked me if I could be there on Tuesday night, and I teach a Bible study online, and I couldn't. But I said, give me some advance notice, and I will go there loaded for bear and do the Bible study later in the evening. This is still going on. Yes, the law is getting passed. Yes, Pam Bondi's addressing it. But at the local level, the passive aggression of these leftists on these school boards is absolutely awful. All right. While schools must maintain order, such authority cannot be used as a pretext to silence dissent or punish parents for expressing their views. We are restoring the rule of law and returning the federal government to the people it serves. This department stands with America's parents, she concluded. Well, great at the high level. We need to get it to trickle down to the local level. And by the way, conservatives, you are not paying attention when these school board elections happen and the left is all over them. So we need to get on it, and we need to get conservatives on these school boards and get this porn out of the libraries. This is all their radical ideology and social engineering. It's got to go. I'm going to have another story in the stack here about, you know, how all these education numbers are rocketing down. And it's because of this kind of stuff. This is what they spend their time on, not reading, writing, and arithmetic. So here's a mention. Apple event, the iPhone 17 launch kicks off. I'm sure all the slave labor in China are incredibly excited about that. Period. All right, take two. NAEP, National Assessment of Educational Progress. How can there be such a thing? Well, there is, and this group issues the nation's national report card. And I thought mine were bad. This is the first time since the COVID pandemic that the report was given. I bet some money changed hands. I bet there was influence. Hey, you can't give us a report card now. We're still recovering from COVID. COVID is the straw man who keeps on giving for leftists. All right, let's just get to the facts here. Average reading and math scores among 12th graders fell to the lowest level on record. Can't make it up. I'm sure it's because the Department of Education is just not being given enough money to get the job done. That's the story they tell us every time. It's criminal what's been going on. 12th grade math scores, 147 out of a possible 300, less than 50%. Only 22% of 12th graders were considered proficient in math. 45% performed below the most basic levels. Reading scores for 12th graders, the average was 283 points out of a possible 500. It's the lowest in 30 years. And I'm sure if you go to the school board meetings, they say, we just need more gay porn books. That's what'll fix it. That'll motivate them to read. Okay, only 35% of seniors were reading at a proficient level. 32% were below the most basic level. So can we tar and feather that sawed-off screaming witch Randy for these outcomes? I'm just asking. It used to get the point across back in the day. My grandparents told me about it. People changed their behavior. Took a while to get that tar off. Education subject matter experts speak in EduSpeak. I read a bunch of it. You couldn't translate it. I spent 14 years in academia and was a, what was the title? Associate Dean of Academic Affairs. The EduSpeak is just a blithering nonsense meant to require new infusions of money for the emperor's new clothes. Okay, reasonable, common sense individuals could fix this system state by state, but nobody will do it because the textbook companies are paying everybody off. There's way too administrators in every educational edifice. You don't need them all, but it's what gets the budgets up. It's all about money, and the money is being pissed away. And the students are always the losers in all this. In science, only 31% of eighth graders placed at proficient or higher. 38% scored below the most basic level. And girls are falling behind boys once again in science. So, what was that about, right? There was this whole gender thing about science in 2018 and 19, and girls are being promoted, and STEM was being promoted, and TV shows were all about girls becoming nuclear scientists and all this stuff. It was, I'm not saying girls can't be great at science, they can. I prefer women doctors, to tell you the truth. But man, the majority of women are not excited about science, okay? And that was all a grift. So now we've got low science scores. Student interest in science has dropped since 2019. So, can anyone say B1 visas. That's what's coming. My guess is there's not a problem with science. There's a problem with woke science. And people are smart enough now that they don't want to sit and listen to that. Woke science sucks, which is all that's being offered. All right, take three. Mr. Frosty lied about his job numbers in his last year. It turns out Sleepy Joe had no idea about job numbers. And so the O'Biden puppet show jacked them up by 1 million jobs and lied to all of us. This revision by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which needs to fire 80% of its abacus goofs and hire Grok, turned in the largest revision on record at 911,000 jobs reported that weren't there. But not one of these overpaid bureaucrats spoke up at the time and said, "These numbers seem a little high to me." Yeah, you can bet the lamestream media legacy goofballs were running their collective mouths about Biden's incredible economic progress. All lies. All right, take four. This is a Breitbart follow-up by a great writer named John Nolte, and it's about Ferguson. You remember Ferguson, right? Hands up, don't shoot. People are still saying that. They're mostly 75-year-old liberals out on the West Coast, but they still think they're reporting something important in liberaldom. So the man who spread hands up, don't shoot, lie, shot dead on Sunday. NBC claims he told media the truth. They have to, because they're largely responsible for all the rioting. Dorian Johnson, the degenerate liar behind the 2014 race riots that destroyed working class town of Ferguson, Missouri, was killed in a shooting on Sunday. Boo, boo. And now far left NBC News is again spreading the lie that Dorian, hands up, don't shoot Johnson, told media outlets what he saw. Dorian Johnson, who was with Michael Brown when the 18-year-old black man was shot dead by a white police officer in a 2014 Missouri shooting that triggered nationwide protests, was killed in a shooting Sunday, authorities said. The killing of Michael Brown on August 9th in 2014 in Ferguson fueled demonstrations around the country in which people chanted, "Hands up, don't shoot." Johnson witnessed the shooting and told media outlets what he saw, except he was lying his ass off. Investigation after investigation proved Johnson lied about the entire incident. So here we go. On August 9, 2014, then 22-year-old Johnson and 18-year-old Michael Brown brazenly robbed cigars from a local store and were walking down the middle of the road. Unaware of the robbery, Officer Darren Wilson drove up and told them to get up on the sidewalk. In other words, don't walk down the middle of the street. Then while Wilson was still in his patrol car, Brown attacked Officer Wilson. Brown tried to grab hold of his service revolver. After Brown failed, both Brown and Wilson both took off running. Wilson pursued Brown for a short distance. Then Brown stopped, turned, and charged Wilson. If Brown was a big, huge guy, Wilson shot Brown dead. Barry Obama's FBI looked into the shooting and cleared Wilson of any wrongdoing, right? The St. Louis County prosecutor looked into the shooting and cleared Wilson. A grand jury looked into the shooting and declined to prosecute. Brown's DNA was found inside the patrol car, on the door handle, and on Wilson's left thigh. Wilson was bruised in the face from being punched by Brown. Numerous witnesses corroborate both Wilson's testimony and the physical evidence that backed Wilson's testimony. But this scumbag, Dorian Johnson, launched days and days of violent rioting by straight up lying to a regime media desperate to stoke racial tensions they had just failed to do with the Trayvon Martin incident. You remember that? The kid walking through a subdivision in a black hoodie. Johnson said that from his vehicle, Officer Wilson instigated the physical confrontation by grabbing Brown by the neck. Right. A cop in a patrol car is grabbing a 6'4" man by the neck. Doesn't even make sense. After Brown got loose, Wilson shot Brown from his car. That didn't happen. There was no evidence a gun was fired in the patrol car. After one hit Brown in the back, not a single one of the three autopsies found that Brown had been shot in the back. This is just all lies, and the media ignored it because they wanted riots. Why? Because it was August 14 and there was an election coming up. You remember 2016, November. So they're lying about all of this. Then came Johnson's most inflammatory lie, that Brown stopped, turned and said, "I don't have a gun, stop shooting." And although Brown had his hands up, Wilson still shot him dead. That's all fiction. What followed was nothing less than an American tragedy. The corporate media and their allies in the organized left turned Officer Wilson, who had done nothing wrong, into an American pariah until he was forced to leave his job. Officer Wilson said, "I've been told that the city of Ferguson at risk, which is a circumstance that I cannot allow." This policeman did absolutely nothing wrong. He asked two black men to not walk down the middle of the street, to walk down the sidewalk. He didn't even know that they had just robbed the store. So, for obvious reasons, I wanted to wait until the grand jury made their decision before I officially made my decision to resign. Based on Dorian Johnson's lies and a corrupt and willing media swallowing them whole, Wilson had to deal with lawsuits, death threats, while his wife was pregnant and has since faded from the public spotlight. Guy's life was ruined, and the media need to pay for it. The people of Ferguson faced 4 days of violent riots, egged on by a craven corporate media that exploited an obvious lie into what they hoped would be a political advantage for Democrats in the 2016 presidential election. And they are planning to do this again for the midterms. All right? So when you hear them gaslighting the hell out of everybody about things that aren't true, turn the damn TV off if you can't figure it out. All right. Take five. Mark Travers is a psychologist at Cornell, and he says, people in the happiest relationships do five things for fun, and they all cost nothings. Nothing. So I'm sure you're all hoping this is going to be prurient. It's not. This is a public service announcement from 647, and 647 makes no guarantees that you will be happy by doing these five things. The first one is, happy couples go on micro adventures. Not every couple has the time or budget to hop on a plane whenever they feel like shaking things up, but that doesn't stop happy couples from finding adventure. They just do it locally. Research shows that micro adventures, think staycations, day trips, or even discovering a new coffee shop across town, can bring just as much joy as big vacations. Anybody buying that? You want to ask the roaming gnome? They explore their city like tourists. They hit the trails, visit bookstores, museums, or check out that weird roadside attraction. The idea is to make the ordinary feel novel. All right. Number two, they do their own hobbies side by side. Like one reads and one plays video games. I don't know about this one. Not so sure. Maybe it's a Gen Z thing. All right, three, they make time for their thing, right? Their thing, whatever their thing is. Yes, doing your own thing is important, but research shows that shared hobbies and rituals are strongly linked to relationship satisfaction. This doesn't mean starting a couple's podcast or training for a marathon, unless that's really something you want to do. For most couples, it's as simple as a standing game night, a Sunday morning walk, or a favorite TV show they only watch together. The point is consistency. These small shared rituals become something to look forward to, no matter how busy life gets. Number four, they turn boring tasks into something fun. So when stuck with a boring chore or task, they'll find a playlist or a show to put on in the background to spice it up. And if they're out of the house running errands, they'll turn it into an opportunity for a little game or competition. They ensure that laughter and silliness is always on the agenda, even if it happens to overlap with their other tasks. And finally, number five, they honor their old traditions. Remember your first date, that inside joke you used to have, that song that used to be yours. So many people look back nostalgically at the early days of their relationship and think about how easy and simple it was to have fun. The salad days, right? But happy couples know that the thrill of the honeymoon phase never has to end if they continue to honor it. Research shows that rituals play an integral part of relationship satisfaction, quality, and intimacy. Happy couples leverage this by giving the activities that once brought them together a cherished place in their relationship. All right, take six. It's the Advanced Reprobate Mind Studies, ARMS. So here we go. This is a sad one. Can't believe it. The beautiful 23-year-old law student from the UK got caught in Dubai with $3,400 of cocaine, 50 grams of cocaine in an apartment in Dubai. Mia O'Brien will be sentenced to 23 years in a horrific Dubai prison. This girl is a sad product of our valueless society. Betrayed by valueless leaders and professors without a clue about the real world outside their lefty bubbles. And law school is the worst of one of those. So this girl goes to Dubai with fake boobs, fake lips, and a Botoxed head, and a bag of cocaine. What could go wrong? She looks like a hood ornament for the 50 Virgins model of the newest Bentley. Mia is a product of digital reality. She will now suffer the primal reality. And I would suggest that we all pray for her, because this is just a terrible thing that was brought on by this person on themselves. And we've all done stupid things in our lives. And fortunately, we don't always get nailed by it. So here's a new category in the ARMS study. And that is the Alternative Reality Special ARMS study. So Marvel rivals Okay, that's a whole new category of Marvel games and comic books. The Marvel Rivals game adds Thor's lesbian sister who has a trans husband. So, if you have kids or grandkids playing this stuff, you better pay attention. Marvel Rivals video game is ramping up the LGBTQ plus representation with its fourth game release this month by featuring Sister of Thor, the Asgardian god of thunder, who is a lesbian with a transgender husband. The storyline for the game, put out by Who Cares in collaboration with Marvel Games, follows villain character Doctor Doom, who meets his alternate reality self, who is a hero, and that causes a time stream entanglement in which heroes and corresponding villains come to fight each other for domination over the universe and total confusion for young people who are playing this game. It is a first-person shooter-styled game. Oh, good. You wonder why these things happen with trans people at schools. First released last year and already has several gay characters introduced. Oh, goody. The new release is reportedly set to add the character Vanguard Angela, who is the daughter of Asgard's God King Odin. That makes her the sister of popular Marvel comic book hero Thor, the God of Thunder. In the comics, the character Angela is married to a male character named Sarah, who was later written as having transitioned to female in the comics. Just great. The game describes the Angela character this way: as the hand of heaven, the warrior called Angela embodies unwavering courage and determination, able to manipulate ichors into various weapons and unfurl her wings to soar across the battlefield. She is ready to deliver divine judgment upon her foes. Is there anything evil in any of this? It certainly seems to have morphed out the Bible and turned it into gay, incredible nonsense, right? It isn't clear if the game will reference Angela's lesbianism, but in the comics, the character has been portrayed as explicitly gay and with a trans husband. So I think that Marvel should contact this psychologist from Cornell and get some reference for their narratives on the things that the five things that happy couples do together that cost no money, as opposed to being the savior of heaven and having wings like an angel and being gay and having a trans husband. How demented and messed up is Marvel? I have no idea. It'd be very interesting to see who bought that company. Didn't used to be this way, but wow, it is absolutely, let's get gay. Let's get as nuts as we possibly can. Let's confuse young people. The whole thing about superhero comics was it just used to be good against evil. And guess what? In reality, it's still a war of evil against good. That's what we're going through. But these jerks, they want to skew all that. They want to muddy the waters. They want young people confused about everything. I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl. I don't know if I'm happy or not. I don't know if I want friends or I want to kill friends. It's a mess. It's a mess. And it's profoundly evil. So, my suggestion, don't give your money, your time, or your attention to this company. And don't let your kids spend time with it either. Get them outside. Get them learning how to do something. Get them learning how to accomplish something. This is all bad. But we're all good. And you're going to be all good. You know why? Because it's Wednesday. It's hump day. You're going over the top. You were a vacationing buffoon last week. Now you're back in the saddle, right? And you're going over the top today. And so we need to go over the top. We can't do it without you. You need to like us. You need to, what else? You need to share us. You need to make comments. But most of all, you need to bite the bullet and get us out there in your network. There are people I know that you're afraid to let know that you hang out with somebody like me, even if it's only 15 minutes. Nonetheless, we want those people exposed to the truth. They may not like the delivery, but it's still the truth. And there's a famine of truth in our land. So get us out there to those groups. That is the exponential growth that we're looking for. And remember, we're keeping this all for free. There's no ads coming in and out, none of that stuff. And every one of these social media sites wants you to do that. The word monetize, it just rains on you like a hailstorm. And everybody says yes to it. And then you're trying to get the truth and you've got ads for every crazy thing in the world. You know what? I get ads all the time about beef tallow face cream. Oh, what the hell are people doing? At any rate, you know what you have to do. You have to do your job with integrity. You have to do your job with creativity. You have to do your job in a way that you're proud of, that God will be proud of, that your employer will be proud of. And if you do all of that, the great God of the universe is going to bless you. I know that's the case because I make all kinds of mistakes and I keep trying and I keep trying and he keeps blessing me. So if he's blessing me, I know that he will bless you. So God bless you, and that's it. Have a great Wednesday later on.